live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on the 16th day of March, 2026. Before I introduce my first-time guest and our no-doubt fascinating topic, I want to remind you listeners that we are having an exciting two-day live debate this week on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, this Thursday and Friday, March 19th and 20th. We are having a debate on the theme, Is Water Baptism Essential for Salvation? And my debate opponents will be Jack Wilkie, a Church of Christ apologist, who will be affirming the debate thesis, baptism is necessary for salvation. Water baptism is necessary for salvation. And opposing that thesis will be Pastor Jeremiah Nortier, a Reformed Baptist apologist, also known as the Apologetic Dog. And once again, this will be held live on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this Thursday and Friday. We hope that you make note of that on your calendars and spread word about the two-day debate far and wide. We look forward to hearing from you with your questions for our debaters Thursday and Friday. But today, we have a first-time guest that came highly recommended to me by one of my dearest friends and also one of my favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and also the favorite guest of a growing number of my listeners, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. He told me that I have got to get on the program Puyan Marshahi, and he told me about Puyan, and I immediately after that conversation said, I definitely have got to book that brother on the show, and thanks be to God and his providence, that's why we have him on the program today. Puyan is a native of Iran, now pastoring a Reformed Baptist congregation in the United Kingdom, Providence Baptist Chapel of Cheltenham, England, who leads the translation team of the Persian Bible through the Trinitarian Bible Society, leads Para Trust, which is translating Reformed Christian literature in the Persian language, and has been a founding member, trustee, and lecturer at Salisbury Reformed Seminary in England. Today we're going to be addressing born in Iran, born again in the United Kingdom, and reaching the Persian-speaking people with the gospel of sovereign grace. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Puyan Marshahi. Sorry, brother, I had you on mute.
Biting me.
I had you on mute. Sorry about that. Can you hear me, brother?
Thank you, brother Chris. for your kind words of welcome, and it is a joy to be with you tonight or this afternoon.
Well, you've got to tell our listeners about the church you pastor there in Cheltenham, England.
Yes, I have, by God's grace, been privileged to pastor the church here in Cheltenham in England, which since the year 2007, so I have been here for over 18 years now, pastoring this godly flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are a 1689 Reformed Baptist Church. We are a congregation of, I would say, we have over 70 membership, and we have a large number of children who attend the services, and I preach expository and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ every week, and so it is a vibrant congregation. We go out on the streets of Cheltenham, Gloucester, Stroud, these are the towns around us, regularly through the week, preaching the gospel on the streets, giving out literature, and it's a joy to see our congregation coming out with us and seeking to reach the lost for Christ.
Praise God. And if anybody wants to find out more about Providence Baptist Chapel in Cheltenham, England, go to cheltenham.church. That's cheltenham.church. You have all the details there that you will need to find out more about Providence Baptist Chapel, and we will announce that information later on in the program. Well, it's a no-brainer that we would do a program on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio addressing Iran, probably more properly pronounced Iran, because of what is going on there, the bombings that are taking place, the military actions by the United States and Israel taking place against Iran. And I'm delighted that through my friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, he eagerly recommended that I interview Puyan about this. But first of all, I want to get more background information about Puyan. First of all, tell us about your upbringing in Iran, and in what religion, if any, were you raised?
Yes, I was born in 1980, September 1980. It was just about a year after the 1979 Islamic Revolution. I was born in the city, the capital city, Tehran, and to a Zoroastrian family, a very loving Zoroastrian family. Zoroastrianism, maybe some of your hearers do not know about, it is the more ancient religion in Iran or the Persian Empire. It is the religion of the various ancient tribes like the Parthians and the Medes that we read in the scriptures. At the time of Prophet Daniel, the nation was Zoroastrian. And so we have, at the time of Mordecai and Esther, the nation was Zoroastrian. It is a more New Age religion prior to the coming of Islam and the invasion of Islam into Iran. So when you read about the three Hebrew children being cast into the furnace, you'll find that one of the significant things about that is that Zoroastrianism, one of the forms of their worship is the worship through fire, and that their God represents himself in the form of fire. And the fact that the Hebrew children were cast into the furnace of fire and were not touched at all, but came out alive, and there was the Lord Jesus Christ amongst them, walking amongst them, it just demonstrates that their idol, this fire, did not actually do anything, but Jehovah protected his people. But that was the religion. That was the religion I was brought up in. We can talk about this further if you wish later on. But I was very happy home. But in 1980, the Iran-Iraq war took place. And my father had accepted a post in as a lecturer at a university in the central city of Yazd. So we moved when I was about 4 or 5, we moved to Yazd. And there I remained till the age 13 when we moved to United Kingdom. And the reason for our coming to United Kingdom was my father's studies. He was studying at a university in England, and that is why we came, not to stay here initially, but to for my father's education. And it was in England that I first read the scriptures and heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. And going back to Iran, what was it like growing up there, especially after the Islamic Revolution? What were your neighbors like that were not parts of the Zoroastrian religion, especially? Were you treated kindly by Muslims there? Tell us more about that.
Okay. Yes. In the early days, when we were in Tehran, I remember as the war continued, that the Iraqi bombers used to come over the capital city, and we had to rush downstairs into the basement, and all the lights had to be put out, and we would hear this humming noise of the bombers coming in. And it was, for us as children, it was very exciting, but for my parents, it must have been devastating and very fearful time.
So in other words, you were not frightened? You thought it was just exciting?
we were excited by it. We had, I remember we had a Jewish neighbor on one side, an Islamic neighbor on the other side. It was generally happy. I have no bad memories of that period of time. But then when we moved to a central city called Yazd, there it was that I had grown a little more, and I started attending, to begin with, a Zoroastrian school. But then after a while, we moved house, and I started attending an Islamic school. Under Islam, non-Muslims are not seen as being ceremonially clean. And therefore, there was a lot of bullying that took place at school. In some cases, some of the students, they would not play with me at school. They wouldn't shake my hand because I was ceremonially unclean. There was prejudice. And so non-Muslims, not just Zoroastrians, but Christians and other faiths, they are seen as second-class citizens. And so there was constant pressure, and there were many things that discouraged us, many things that we, and my parents too, had to experience, which was not pleasant. People would talk to us differently. They would keep their distance. They would not trust us. However, there were others who were very friendly, very kind. But in situations where my father especially or others would be engaged in work, they would be seen differently. So there was bullying at school because of not being a Muslim. In one situation, we actually, my parents said that it is, since we were not known in that area, it might be a good idea just to pretend to be Muslims. So actually, I actually attended the Islamic classes, the Quranic classes, and actually went for prayer, the times of prayer, just to fit in. That lasted for about a couple of years. And then they found out that we were not Muslims. And so we were pulled in before the headmaster and rebuked severely. And so we were not allowed to participate anymore in those things. But it was complicated. It was at times very sad. But at the same time, I had some very good Muslim friends who didn't accept the, they were more nominal, I would say, and they didn't accept the strict form of Islam that others were practicing.
Well,
I should say, I had a happy, happy childhood. I had a very blessed and happy childhood, humanly speaking, sadly not spiritually.
And you mentioned that you came to discover the gospel after you and your family moved to the United Kingdom. Can you repeat how old you were at that time that you moved?
Yes. Yes. I was 13 at that time. It was the year 1993. And I should say that on we used to, on a weekly basis, as a family, we would attend the fire temple, the Zoroastrian fire temple, where the fire would be kept burning by the priest for, in some places, for centuries. There is this fire that had been burning because that's a symbol of purity in the view of the Zoroastrians and the symbol of their god, Ahura Mazda. And so we would have to pray towards the fire. We had to recite our prayers and do the various rituals before the fire or before the sun, because Zoroastrianism also absorbed the old sun worship practices of Mithraism and such things. That was a Babylonian religion. So that's what our practice on a weekly basis. We were a committed religious family, and also we tried to keep it up. When we came to England in 1993, we had very little English. I think I could only say the words "I don't speak English," and only write my own name. That was all. But after about 9 months or so, we began to communicate better, and I'm still learning. In terms of hearing the gospel, I should say that Zoroastrians are very proud of their heritage. We believe that we have been chosen by God to be Zoroastrians, we are part of a pure race. We call ourselves pure blood, and that we refer to ourselves as true Aryans. It was a very nationalistic religion. Superior attitude towards others. Even though we were classed as second class citizens, we believed that our blood was pure, that was not mixed with Arab blood, and that we were true Persians. And so there is that self-righteous attitude. And so when I came to UK, I continued with that attitude, and I would look down on others and say, these people, they have, and this is what the priests, Zoroastrianism is a religion of priestcraft, and the priest would say that the Jews, the Muslims, the Christians have borrowed their religion from us, and that we are the true, pure religion. And so there is this prideful attitude that we had towards Christians and others, we believed that we were the true faith, as it were, until I heard about the fact that I was a sinner, and that the question was put to me by some friends at school in England, which shook my self-righteous world, and that was this: what will you do with your sin on that final day?
Wow.
A simple question, a very simple question, but I had no answers. With all of my religion, with all of my self-righteousness, how can a person be right with God? How can I have my sins forgiven? I knew I was a sinner, but since it was a works-based religion, we just hope that by doing the three tenets of Zoroastrianism, good words, good thoughts, good deeds, this is how we become right with God. And that by going through the priests, by doing all the rituals, by reciting our prayers and reading the prayer books that we were given, that God would somehow will forgive us. But that question, what will I do with my sins, on that final day bothered me. It is what I call, in English, there is a saying of putting a pebble in a person's shoe.
Huh.
It began to aggravate me. It began to bother me. And I could not really rest until I knew for sure that my sins are forgiven. And so I began asking questions. I began asking my friends, Zoroastrian friends. I began researching. I began asking my parents, how can I know for sure that my sins are forgiven? And I did not receive a clear answer. And often I was told that, well, we should not be questioning these things. That, don't you know that our religion is the most ancient religion? Don't you know that you are of a pure race? Don't you know that everyone else has borrowed from us? And who are you as a child to even question this pure and ancient religion? But I was not receiving a satisfactory answer. And I wanted to know for sure, not maybe, not hopefully, but to know for sure that my sins, all of them are forgiven. That the only answer that I received was found in the Word of God, the Bible, where I began talking to these friends. They were from a charismatic background. They were from an Anglican charismatic background. But they gave me a Bible, and I began reading this Bible.
Hallelujah.
And I began reading the Gospel of John. I've read the Gospel of John many times, and the New Testament. I began reading the book of Genesis, and I began to see that how man has fallen, why I am the way I am, why I sin, is because I have a sinful nature. And it took about 2 years because it did unsettle me, and I tried to fight against it. And I was a self-righteous, arrogant young man, full of pride, would not accept to begin with that I was a sinner. So I began reading the Bible to find fault with it. But as the more I read, the more it found fault with me. And it was when I came to read, after a number of times reading that same text, I came to read the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, verse 6, where the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that day, I remember it was roughly about February 1999, that the Lord opened my heart to the truth of that. And I had no choice but to repent and to trust in Christ.
Hallelujah.
That was how the Lord worked through reading the Bible. Unfortunately, the church that I was going to, this charismatic church, unfortunately, the gospel was not being preached there.
Huh.
And it was a very large charismatic church that taught the usual health and wealth and healing, but there was no gospel. And I had no idea. I didn't know anything about Christianity. I had no idea that there were other churches. I just knew that there were Roman Catholics and Protestants, and this is a Protestant church. But it was the Word of God that God used to humble me by his grace and save a wretch like me.
Amen. Now, in Zoroastrianism, do they
teach at all about their own version of who Jesus Christ was? Do they even acknowledge that he existed? Do they revere him as a prophet, etc.?
No, Zoroastrianism was founded around 1500 BC. So it was before Christ, 1500 before Christ. And so there is no acknowledgement of Christ or any other prophet.
Huh. And they don't even acknowledge him as existing in history as a heroic figure, as a any kind of a wonderful man at all, anything like that?
Not in Zoroastrianism. Obviously, the priests would say that there is Christ who came, but they would say that he came bringing God's teachings, but he borrowed very much from Zoroastrianism, and that Christianity has borrowed from Zoroastrianism. But in terms of the writings, their scriptures, there is nothing, because it was written a long time before the coming of Christ.
Well, when we come back from our first commercial break, we're going to hear more about how you came to discover the doctrines of sovereign grace, otherwise known as Reformed theology, Calvinism. And if anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back, so please do not go away.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
when Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, my guest today is Puyan Mershahi, and he is a pastor of a Reformed Baptist church in Cheltenham, England, the Providence Baptist Chapel of Cheltenham. And we are discussing a whole range of issues involving his life in Iran, where he was born and raised, and his life after moving to the United Kingdom. And we have just arrived at the point where he discovered the true gospel and the true Christ of Scripture after having been raised and spending his entire life in Zoroastrianism. And I was going to ask you about how you discovered the doctrines of sovereign grace, but before I do that, we have an email here from a friend of mine that I've had on this program a number of times. And this email is a reminder that I've got to have him back. He also happens to be an expert on Freemasonry and wrote a book against it, Why Christians Should Not Be a Part of Freemasonry. He actually, because of his appearance on this show decades ago, or at least over 15 years ago, when he was on the earlier version of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, broadcasting it of WNYG Radio in Babylon, Long Island, somebody in Dublin, Ireland, heard him speaking against Freemasonry and invited him to debate a high-ranking Freemason in London, England, which he did, and that debate is still available on YouTube. But John Otis sends in a question today from Auburn, Georgia. I was intrigued to hear you say that the haunting question you had was that you wanted to know how your sins could be forgiven. In Zoroastrianism, do they believe that there is a hell in the afterlife, and did that bother you that you might be there?
Thank you for that. There is a doctrine of hell, but also there is a form of the doctrine of purgatory. And I believe that actually Roman Catholicism has borrowed much from the old Babylonian religions.
Wow.
So there is a form of the doctrine of hell, but it wasn't something that we would focus on, because we had this view that God, in his mercy, since he has elected us somewhat to be a Zoroastrian, as long as we aim and as long as we are sincere and our intentions are right, he will receive us because we are higher than other people anyway. The teaching on hell did not bother me as long as I remained a Zoroastrian. But as I began reading the scriptures, I began to be convicted. The word of God began to expose the layers of my sin. And I was miserable. It was 2 years of misery and sleeplessness. I was only about 17 when I began to read the scriptures, and I was becoming more and more depressed, because I began to see what an awful man I have been, and that nothing that I was doing was actually pleasing to God. This came after a few months after I began reading the scriptures, and I began to see. Yeah, I was reading it with looking to find fault with it and looking to compare it with Zoroastrian teaching. And I thought, I'm sure there is nothing unique about Christianity. But the more I read, the more I began to realize the desperate situation I was in. There was no way out. There was no way out of me being forgiven if I remained a Zoroastrian.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, thanks for that excellent question, John. In fact, I know that you've been a guest, obviously, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a number of times, but I don't know if you've ever sent in a question before. But thanks a lot for that excellent question. I'll read one more question from Joey in New Rochelle, New York. Dear Puyan, can you please explain what is the Zoroastrian canon of scripture and how the Zoroastrians view their origin and authority? He has one more question that I will read after you answer that.
Yes, there are a number of scriptures they have. One is called Avesta, which is simply a book of prayers. There is Zanda Avesta, further prayers, and a variety of other books, but none of them are they have been put together many centuries after the so-called prophet Zoroaster. There is actually no evidence that there was such a person called Zoroaster ever existed.
Huh.
But it is something that came centuries later. So there are no extant manuscripts or writings that actually are ancient enough to the time of Zoroaster. It is the things that we have now, it is many hundreds of years later. So these are the teachings are generally speaking in these books, and also Vendidas, there is another book. So those are the main books. And then the issue is that the doctrines of Zoroastrianism are taught by the priests. It's a religion of priestcrafts. People actually do not, the common man does not understand the writings, their own scriptures, because they're written in the language of ancient Persian language called Pahlavi. And people today, they do not understand it. So it is the priests who have to interpret and write to us expositions of these books. And all we used to do as a child is to recite these words, which we had no idea what they meant. It is like the old Latin prayer books that the Roman Catholics had to recite. And for us, we had to, as long as we learned them by rote, off by heart, and in our prayers, we would turn towards the sun or towards fire, that it was all that was demanded. And then to go to see the priest, to go through the rituals, and to listen to their interpretation. So they do believe that God revealed himself through Zoroaster. That is the myth that they believe in. But so in one sense, it is a revealed religion, but it is so wrapped up in mythology and mysticism and New Age teaching, that and their scriptures are so new in one sense, in the sense that what they claim to have happened has happened hundreds of years before the extant manuscripts. So actually, I would say that because of the lack of a manuscript evidence of what is existing today is actually fabrications.
Huh.
It is the amalgamation of Babylonian and Persian religions that were mixed together, and it suited the culture and the political powers of the Persian Empire. It solidified the empire under one religion. It brought everyone together, but people could still hold on to their old religions. So Zoroastrianism became some sort of an ecumenical religion. It accepted everything and anything and under one roof. And so it just evolved over time. And And then in the year in the 7th century AD, that Islam invaded, Muslims invaded the Persian Empire and the Iran of today. And so then they imposed Islam upon the people. And the general, many thousands were killed. Most people converted. The minority did not convert to Islam. Many fled into the mountains and various places, and they were kept safe. Others fled to other nations, but mainly there was a group that arrived in India, and they are called the Parsis or the Persians. The Parsis are still there, and they have their fire temples, and they have continued the Zoroastrian faith in India. So there's a large population of Parsis who are quite well to do, wealthy business families who own many of the major companies in India right now.
Now, I'm wondering, as you're speaking, my mind is going back to when I was 17 years old. I dated a young lady, very pretty young lady, who was Indian, and her mother ran an ashram. And from what I understand, in my memory anyway, is that they worship fire. I'm wondering if they could have been Zoroastrian, and I didn't even know, because I don't remember that word being used.
Yes, they would have used the term Parsi. They were Parsi, which means they are Persians. It is from the Pars or the Parthians. They're the Parthians. So the Parthian tribe was the dominant tribe in the Persian Empire that took over. And so Darius and Cyrus and others, they were from that tribe. And as a young boy, I went to Shushan the Palace. You can still go to those places, the ruins of Shushan the Palace, and Cyrus's tomb, and Darius's tomb, and such places are still there to this day. And still in Iran, there is the tomb of Esther and Mordecai there, as well as the prophet Habakkuk and the prophet Daniel's tomb is still in Iran still preserved to this day. Huh. So as a young boy, we were sent to these to the sites of, it is called Pasargad, where the tombs of the great kings of Persia are still there. And when Alexander the Great, when he invaded the Persian Empire and arrived to the capital, Shushan, he did not destroy Cyrus and Darius's tombs. He set everything else on fire, but he had great respect for, certainly for Cyrus. And so his tomb is still there. As a boy, I was sent there, and sadly, I didn't appreciate all these old stones and buildings at the time. You can Google these things for yourself and see the pictures of these sites.
The other question that Joey in New Rochelle, New York has, would you really already answered it. And then can you please share how you personally came to change your view when you encountered the Bible? Well, maybe I'll ask it in a different way, because I'm not sure I remember you answering this aspect of that question. How did you know when you encountered the Bible that what Christians taught was the Word of God was true and Zoroastrianism was false? In this quest to know how you could be forgiven of your sins, I'm assuming a lot of this can only be based in the supernatural, merciful grace of God. But can you explain any other way how you came to believe the Christians are right, Zoroastrianisms are wrong?
This This relates to the way I came to understand the doctrines of grace or the Reformed faith as well. Because as I began reading the Bible from Genesis to begin with, and then I read through Genesis, I came through a part of Exodus, but then I could not understand all that the instructions concerning the tabernacle and so on. I remember giving up. And then I asked my friends, they said, begin to read the Gospels and begin to read the Gospel of John. So I began reading it. As I was reading, God was humbling me. I've never been humbled. I've never been convicted of sin. I knew mentally that I was a sinner. But reading the Bible made me realize I was a sinner. My eyes were being opened. I had never had conviction of sin. And so it, all the debates about is the Bible the Word of God, is my past true or not, as I began reading the Bible, I could not explain it, but the Lord was convicting me of sin. And the only thing I was bothered about, the only concern I had, is how can I get this burden off? There was a burden that was getting larger and larger and larger. And I had no idea that John Bunyan had written his Pilgrim's Progress at the time, but it was a crushing burden. And that is where I felt I needed to ask, how can I get this sin forgiven? How can I be changed? So, but as I began, when I was actually converted, I knew I had not saved myself. I knew I had done nothing to deserve this. It wasn't anything to do with my faith. It had to do with everything to do with Christ. And so I didn't actually had a, as it were, a change of belief from being an Arminian to a person who was Reformed. I already knew that I had not saved myself. I knew that it was the Lord who had called me to himself. And I remember reading those words that came powerfully to me, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I knew I must be born again, and I couldn't make myself born again. And then when the Lord Jesus says, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And I knew I had not come to Christ, but he was bringing me to himself. And there's another text, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Those words came powerfully to me. And I knew I was being drawn, and I couldn't stop it. There was nothing I could do. And there was this almighty force, almighty hand upon me. And then I came to read those words that said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And I thought, how wonderful that is, what the Lord Jesus Christ does. And have I been given to, has the Father given me to his Son? And it was after about a year or so that I came to realize, no, Christ has died for me. It is true. And all I had to do, which was not a work on my part, was to simply acknowledge Christ as my Lord and Savior, confess my sins, repent of my sins. And so there was no, in my own mind, when these, the truth of the scripture was coming to me powerfully, I still get goosebumps. I still, as we read consecutively the scriptures in our own church services, I am shedding tears because those thoughts come to my mind and I remember how supernaturally the Lord was working in me. I had no part in it, other than being, as it were, I was sitting on the back seat and I was being driven forward. And I was just experiencing the grace of God and the conviction that was coming with the Word of God. And so it was later on, as I I had no idea that this was the Reformed faith. I had no idea that when I was talking to my Christian friends, when I said, no, the good shepherd gives his life not for the goats, but for the sheep, that Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I said, Christ died for the sheep, not for the goats.
Amen.
So I had no idea that this was the Reformed faith. I just saw it in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John became the main gospel that I was reading. And when I would read here words like, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How could I say that my salvation was based on me choosing God? Or when the Lord says, I of all which he has given me, I shall lose nothing, the Lord Jesus said. Or I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. These were the things that were readily in my mind. And when the Lord humbled me on that night, I still remember that, and the word of God was coming powerfully to me. I felt that I have no other way to go except just bow before Christ and worship him and trust in his shed blood and praise him for what he has done for my soul and confess my sins to him. And then these other things, as I met Christians and as they thought I was being too, I was limiting the gospel and so on. I had no idea this was, they felt I was a hyper-Calvinist. I remember when I left the Charismatics, I became disillusioned by the Charismatics. I just wanted to go to a church where the Word of God was being faithfully preached. And I was working as a computer programmer at the time in the south of England, in the city of Ipswich. And I started attending a Brethren congregation who were Arminian and dispensational, but very godly, sincere, godly people. I have a very soft spot for them, that congregation there. And I loved to hear the word of God. They preached the word of God. However, they said to me, what you believe in is hyper-Calvinism. And I said, what is Calvinism? So it was most comical when I think back of this. One of the elders gave me a book by Ian Murray, The Forgotten Spurgeon.
Yes.
And he said, you sound like this Spurgeon guy. and you have become a Calvinist. I said, well, I have not become anything. I'm just a Christian who, I just see these things in the scriptures. So I read that book with great joy, because then I saw, oh, there is another person who thinks like me. And I had no idea who is this Spurgeon.
That's amazing.
And I still did. So that was the way, obviously, I was very young in the faith. Obviously, my understanding of things was very immature. But just sticking with the word of God and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Gospel of John, was the bedrock of my beliefs in the Reformed faith and the doctrines of grace, which God is sovereign in our salvation, and that Christ died for his sheep, and he certainly will save every single one of them.
Hallelujah. You are reminding me of something that happened in the 1990s. I was working for WMCA 570 AM radio in New York, an affiliate of the largest Christian radio network in the world, Salem Communications. And I was selling airtime. This is before I had my own show. And an elderly, retired Orthodox Jewish journalist contacted me. He invited me over to his home in Brooklyn. I went, sat with him in his kitchen, and he wanted to purchase
at least 2 hours of airtime for me to debate a local fundamentalist Baptist pastor on the New Testament. He considered himself a student of the New Testament, even though he didn't believe in its teachings, in its unique teachings outside of Judaism. And he had read it, I believe he said, dozens of times, and said he knew it very well. And he wanted to debate the pastor on, it may have been on the deity of Christ, but I'm not sure right now. But it had something to do with the New Testament. And during this debate, he says, which I obviously sold him the airtime, and I'm listening to the debate in my home on the radio. And he says to the fundamentalist pastor, "Now let me get this straight. You believe that before the world began, that God chose some people to go to heaven, and some people he bypasses those people, and they die in their sins and they go to hell." And the pastor interrupts him and says, Ira, you got me all wrong, Ira. I'm not a Calvinist." And Ira says, "You're not a what?" "I'm not a Calvinist." He says, "What's that?" I said, "What you're saying is Calvinism. I don't believe in that." He goes, "Well, I never heard this word Calvinism before, but it's in your Bible, the New Testament. That's where I'm getting this." Yes. And I called up the radio station and I said to the engineer, "You've got to tell Ira to get on the phone with me after the debate's over." And after the debate was over, Ira called me and he said, and I said to him, "You are interpreting the Bible correctly, Ira, but you must repent and believe in it. But you do get the right idea of what the New Testament is saying." But we have to go to our midway break right now. And if you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
"I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you."
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step by step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And folks, the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide for us financial support automatically every single month, on top of that, they give us the enormous bonus of 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. So whether you are purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, whether you are purchasing jewelry they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry designed and created, like an engagement ring, or like taking your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo, your business logo, turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your creativity and imagination and conjure up. They will design an absolute masterpiece by creating a one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry for you exactly according to your specifications. But whatever the case may be, something that they have in stock or something that you are designing and created, they will give us 100% of the profits from that sale of jewelry to us, as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you make the purchase. Go to RoyalDiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my absolutely fascinating guest today, I want to remind you that if you love this show and you don't want it to go off the air, we really need your financial support, folks. Please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly from anywhere in the world via debit or credit card in that fashion. Or if you prefer snail mail, like many people still do, sending a physical check at your post office to a physical address, there will be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. And as many of you know who listen regularly, we have lost a couple of our largest financial supporters, one of which was a local Christian bookstore that had a global client base providing the finest in Reformed Christian literature at the most reasonable prices. And after 50 years of business, they tragically had to permanently close their doors. And we lost an enormous source of income when they did that. So please help us replace and replenish that lost income. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Keep in mind that I never want anybody listening to give your own church, where you're a member, less money on the Lord's Day than you normally give to your church in order to bless us financially. Please never do that. And if you're struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, and you love this show, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Providence Baptist Chapel in Cheltenham, England, well, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe, and I have helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience all over the planet Earth find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too. If you are without a church home that's biblically faithful, please no matter where in the world you live, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to my guest today, Pastor Pouillon. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. Pastor Pouillon, we now know that you have come to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace before you even knew there was such a thing as Reformed theology. You gleaned it from the scriptures themselves. And when was it that you, and how was it that you came to become more systematized in your theology, and specifically Reformed Baptist?
Yes, well, I will pick up from the place where I left off, in that I was attending a Brethren congregation, a very godly people. That is where they encouraged me to begin to see if the Lord had gifted me in preaching. I found it extremely difficult, because obviously English is my second language, and I found it very hard to put together a Bible study or a sermon. But they asked me to do what I could, and I wanted to serve the Lord. I gave my testimony in different places, and to small congregations of older saints, and which helped me to develop. But while I was attending this gospel hall, the Brethren congregation in Ipswich, they had a special meeting for the Trinitarian Bible Society, and one of their representatives was coming to give a message about the work of that society, and as he found out about me, he invited me to his house, which was not far away. And on a weekly basis, I would have gone over there, and he would give me a copy of the Banner of Truth Puritan paperbacks. And I began to read a Puritan paperback each week. I had plenty of time at work, I had free time at work, and I would spend every minute of it just reading the Puritans. And so I read through most of Ryle's works, J.C. Ryle. I've read many of the Puritan quarterbacks that Banner of Truth published, much of Arthur Pink's writings. And all of these things helped me greatly to develop in my thinking. At that time, I began to be influenced greatly to embrace more of a Presbyterian view of theology and church governance and so on, and as I returned to university to finish my university degree, we began attending a Reformed Presbyterian congregation in the north of England, my wife and I, and ultimately I went to study at seminary after sensing the call to the ministry and being encouraged by different men that I ought to seriously think about the ministry. I attended a Reformed Presbyterian or Free Presbyterian seminary in Northern Ireland for 4 years. However, during my time there, as I was studying the doctrine of the covenants, my convictions began to change on the matter of covenant theology, and came to a more Reformed Baptist view of the covenants. And I began to see things that, and I speak with great respect and love to my Presbyterian brethren, because I have such a love for them. And I was just a week ago or so, I was preaching. Most of my friends are Presbyterians than Baptists. I was preaching at my old Reformed Presbyterian church. But I began to see things that I could not accept, especially from the writings of Professor John Murray, and also some of the other classic works on baptism that I was reading of, and on covenant theology, I began to see certain inconsistencies. Again, I speak with greatest of respect for my Presbyterian brethren, and but I had to be honest to my seminary and to my old church that I had changed my views. I remember at that time, I still have a copy of a letter that Pastor Al Martin sent me. I wrote to him because I had been listening to him, and I didn't know really of any other Baptist ministers. And so I wrote to him, and I said, this is my dilemma. I don't know what to do. Can you guide me? Can you help me? And he sent me a number of books and a very kind letter, and he said that those books will help me. And later on, after a number of years, I met him in Grand Rapids when he had retired and was living there, and we were able to embrace, and I thanked him personally for helping me in those early days, as I was very very much in a state of limbo, because I had been a charismatic. Then I spent began preaching amongst the brethren, and then I was amongst the Presbyterians, and I had no Baptist friends. I had not been in a Baptist church before, and so Pastor Al Martin was a great help to me, and still to this day, and His writing and his sermons have been a great help, but it was that's how I began changing theologically and came to a belief in the doctrines that are clearly taught in the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, and that is where our church is.
Amen. And how did you eventually come to either pastor or establish? I don't know if you're the one that planted the church.
Yeah.
Providence Baptist Chapel in Cheltenham.
The church here had existed for quite some time. It used to be what is called Strict Baptist Chapel. It was established in 1875. By a group of Calvinistic Baptists, and but then it went, disbanded in the 1970s. They became very small, and it went into the hands of one or two other groups. But then our group of folk, who had in the 1970s. Had been influenced by the preaching of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and actually Dr. Lloyd-Jones came and preached to them. They left the Baptist Union denomination that had been so compromised at the time, and they were Arminian Dispensational Baptist Church, evangelical, but through the teachings of Dr. Lloyd-Jones and their pastor, who was a very godly man, they left the Baptist Union, and then in the process of time came to re-establish the Baptist Church in the building where we are now. So after one of the pastors that they had called was retiring, after 5 years of not having a pastor, and they found out that there was a young Reformed Baptist man who had been trained as a Presbyterian, but had now come to these convictions, and he was waiting on the Lord for guidance and direction. They asked me to come and preach here a number of times, and then I was still a student. I was in my final year of seminary, but they issued a call to me that I should come here, and after convinced me that this was his will, I accepted their invitation, and I finished my studies and came here by the grace of God, and I'm very thankful to God that this group of dear saints they allowed me to cut my teeth on them in all of my preaching and all the things that I they patiently listened to me over the years and still to this day. So that's how it happened.
Amen. And we have a question that has come in from our mutual, very dear friend, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, who wants you to speak more on your open-air evangelism. Street preaching.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Moorcraft. We go out onto the streets of Cheltenham, Gloucester, and Stroud. These are three towns next to each other. Gloucester, where we actually live, is the city of George Whitefield. I actually preach on a weekly basis in front of George Whitefield's home, where he grew up, and then just a few meters away from the church where he attended. The church where he first preached his message when he was ordained to the ministry, and his pulpit is there. George Whitefield's pulpit is there. So if you ever come to Gloucestershire, I'll be glad to take anyone for a little tour.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And so the preaching takes place every week. We go out leading with people on the streets and pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to connect with them. And only last week, I was preaching in our own town of Cheltenham. And as I preached, leading with people to turn to the Lord, a man who came forward and he said to me, "I feel so lost. Everything you're saying, it makes sense to me that I'm lost. I'm a sinner." And he was shedding tears. He was moved by what he was hearing, and he actually phoned me yesterday and spoke to me again. And we hope to see each other this week. But we do see people come, and they stand and they listen and we engage with them. I don't use any amplification because we are in a pedestrian area, and I simply use my voice to project it. I oftentimes have a scripture text on a board that I'm preaching from, just 10, 15 minutes messages, and try to engage people with questions and speak to their hearts. It is very different to normal preaching on the Lord's days, but we have seen by the grace of God, since even before COVID, individuals coming to hear the word of God as a result of hearing us in the open air, probably 30, 40 people with their families as a result in the last 6 months, maybe.
Hallelujah.
Who've come, and some of them have been converted. Some of them were there yesterday on the Lord's Day, praying on the Lord. And it's only by the grace of God. I am not I don't see myself as being very gifted. I get tongue-tied. I forget my words. My English is all jumbled up. And
you're doing a great job today, by the way, on this English-speaking program.
Sometimes people say I make up my own new words as well.
I do that all the time.
But it has been so humbling to think that, as I think it was Thomas Brooks who said, that only one word from the mouth of Christ is enough to save a soul. It's not about how much we say, but if the Lord by His Spirit is speaking to hearts, then he will save and He will draw them to Himself. So we've been most encouraged in this open-air work. We are not there to blast people. We are not there to preach a message of purely fire and brimstone. We seek to bring the gospel in a way that will connect with them and show them that they are under the wrath of God. Show them that the law of God does condemn them, but there's a Savior who would receive sinners even today. And so I ask a lot of questions, and I try to just ask them to stop and what do they think of Christ, and so on. And last week, even a Muslim, Muslims stand, because they see me, and they see me as a foreigner. And I often say to the folk there, I say, are you thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy in United Kingdom and in the Western world? And I said, the reason for our freedoms is not Islam, it's not atheism, it's not Roman Catholicism, but it's the evangelical Christianity that has kept the Western world free from tyranny, and we have these freedoms. And so I always say that to people, and sometimes Muslims stop and they are quite unhappy about what I say, and but they engage with me. And one man just last week, a few days ago, he came and he talked to one of the brethren there, and he was willing to take a Bible. A couple of weeks ago, I was engaging with a Palestinian Muslim, and the sad thing is, since England has forsaken the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm seeing more and more of Muslims speaking very proudly and very confidently that England will become a Muslim nation in just a few decades from now. And this Palestinian Muslim, he challenged me, and he said, look, what you're preaching, you are passionate about, but most of the country are not passionate about. And therefore, that is why Islam is going to take over. Well, I spoke to him about the fact that what I am preaching, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation, and that I do not believe Islam will take over. I believe that we have better days ahead, and that what we need to do is to be faithful to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and preach it at all times, in every season, and the fruits are not in our hands, but there is. We go out and we face all sorts of opposition. And one time, just as an anecdote, it was some years back now. No, 2 years ago, a man stood there and he shouted at me, and he said, "We don't want to hear any of these things." And he said, "I don't want to hear fables and myths." And I said, "What do you believe in?" He said, "I'm an atheist." And I said, well, I engaged him, and I said, well, what, how do you have a Bible, sir? And he said, no, I don't have a Bible. I said, do you know, just half an hour from here, William Tyndale was born. And again, William Tyndale, we are in the county of William Tyndale. William Tyndale was born, and he died so that Englishmen would have a copy of the Word of God. I said, what kind of an Englishman are you that doesn't have the Word of God? And he said, well, you foreigner cannot speak to me like this, and you should go back to your own country. And I said, well, the reason I cannot go back to my country is because I would be arrested, and I would not be allowed the freedoms to trust in Jesus Christ and follow the teachings of the Bible and be a Christian. And I said, well, it seems to me that you don't have a Bible. I have a Bible. And I said, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He said, no. I said, do you know that Englishmen died so that Englishmen would believe in Jesus Christ? And I said, what kind of an Englishman are you that does not believe in Jesus Christ? And so our conversation carried on like that. And one after the other, I would ask him questions about the privileges of Englishmen for having the Word of God and the gospel. And at the end I said, well, it seems to me that I am more of an Englishman than you are for holding to these things that historically God has blessed in this land. And I said to him, maybe what you need to do is to pack your bags and either go to my country of Iran, because he was favoring more Islam, or go to some atheistic country, go to China or North Korea. You would feel much happier in such countries. By that time, there were about 20 or 30 people gathering. They were enjoying this interaction. And our friends, our colleagues from our church, they went around and they handed them the Word of God, the Bibles, the New Testaments and Gospels, and everyone took them. And ultimately, this man, he was laughing as well at his own, at the fact that he was caught in the trap. He went away in a happy mood, but I managed to challenge him about the Christian heritage of this nation and how English men have forgotten their history and they have given it up for nothing. I love the going out to take the gospel outside of our church to people who are on the streets, who would never attend our services. And it does me good. Not that I feel myself to be a gifted in open air preaching, but I feel myself I need to be outside of the pulpit preaching to the people on the streets.
Now, is your preaching?
God has blessed it.
Amen. And is your preaching primarily or exclusively in English, or do you also preach either in your church or in the open air in Persian?
So it is mainly in English, unless I am having meetings for Iranians or Afghans. There have been occasions in recent times that the church has invited me, and they have had a group of asylum seekers or Iranian groups, and they have asked me to preach to them, to interview them for baptism and such things. And so I preach in Farsi, in the Persian language, to them. And we have conferences too. We try to set up conferences and gather Iranians from the around the country and preach the Word of God to them as well.
And in spite of the fact that you and I are Reformed Baptists, I am thrilled to hear that you have translated several hundred of our dear friend Dr. Joe Moorcraft's sermons into Farsi.
That's right. That's right. We have been re-preaching Dr. Moorcraft's sermons, and they're all available on Sermon Audio, and by the thousands, they're being listened to by Iranians all over the world, and
wow.
Afghans as well. I know of an Afghan family who, for a long time, they were listening to Dr. Moorcraft's systematic teaching through Exodus and through Romans. And Dr. Moorcraft was being heard in Farsi, in Kabul, in Afghanistan.
Wow.
Sadly, we lost touch with that family. Their internet connection and so on ended, but they have not been in touch with me again. But I know that some years ago there were families gathering together around the cell phone listening to Dr. Moorcraft and other preachers too. Al Martin and Spurgeon is preaching in Farsi, and Dr. Joel Beakey's, we have translated many of Dr. Joel Beakey's. And so he found it amusing that is he was being preached in Farsi.
Great. Well, we have to go to our final break. Don't go away. We will be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word. and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And folks, please never forget that this program is also paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my very long time, very dear friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I must ask you, dear brother Pouillon, before we run out of time, what your thoughts are on what is happening over in Iran as far as the bombings that are taking place by the United States and the Israeli army. And please feel free to speak honestly and openly about that.
Yes, thank you for that. When wars do take place, it is always very complicated. And there are many, the nations involved, they have their own intentions. Israel has its own intentions. Israel has claimed that Iran has nuclear weapons. That's why they have moved in. I don't know how beneficial it has been for America to go in. It's all controversial issues. How just a war is this? These are all controversial issues that I'm sure many American brethren are thinking about. And however, from a spiritual point of view, a point of view of many Iranians, the general public see the removal of the Islamic regime as a good thing. I talked to a brother who just a few days ago, who had at the beginning of the year in January, he was captured, he was imprisoned for having 600 or so Bibles in his basement. he was tortured, and then he was released. Miraculously, he was released just before the war broke out. And he said to me, every time he hears the sirens, every time he hears the bombs dropping, they are praising God.
Wow.
They thank the Lord. So from an Iranian point of view, this Islamic regime for the past 47 years, they have persecuted God's people. They've oppressed their own people. They have killed many, many thousands, even in recent months, for opposing the government. However, from a spiritual point of view, when we think about, we do not know the mind of God. We do not know that He is the one who brings kings up and brings them down. He is the one who works these things. The people of Iran have been marching and they have been demanding change of their government. However, and they're calling on freedom. They want to be free. However, what we don't appreciate, or the people in the West, they don't appreciate, what kind of freedom are they asking for? Do they even know what freedom is? What they see is Western style of freedom and secularism without appreciating actually how did the West become free. It was because of the gospel of God's grace. It's because of Christians laying down their lives for the sake of the freedom to preach the gospel and freedom to live as Christians. And this has happened over centuries. It didn't come overnight. And so the people in Iran, they see what the West is offering and they want it, but there is no basis. There is no foundation for such things. And so therefore, what they're asking for is out of immaturity, I believe, and not and out of desperation. But they do not know what kind of freedom they're asking for. So for many, there are movements within Iran. So if Iran receives a secular government, they will also include with it. If Israel and the United States changes the government of Iran, it will not be, humanly speaking, it will not be a Christian government. It will be a secular government, which will also, it's already in the pipeline. They would also impose, and they will also encourage LGBT laws, homosexual marriages, and such things. It will be all of the debauchery and the evils of the Western nations as well. We do need to pray that the Lord in His mercy would open a way, an effectual door for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever happens, that the gospel would enter in with great power. And already we need to be praying, because already there are charismatic groups and various cults and so on. They are already ready to go in with all of their resources, with millions of dollars at their fingertips, to flood the country with false teaching. And the reformed Christianity in Iran is in the minority. It is just a handful, maybe 50 people, maybe 100 people who actually have committed to the reformed faith. And so... The situation in Iran, for the people of Iran, many of them are very thankful, but they're concerned as to what the future will hold. They are thankful that many who were evil men have been removed, but the uncertainty of the future for them, it's quite hard to bear. How United States, which has been influenced by Israel, and its hands have been tied to enter into this war, how the American population feel about these things, I feel it might come to bite them. But all of these things are in the Lord's hands, and my concern is that to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and faithful preaching of the word of God and sound literature into the country, whatever happens. And so I have not maybe answered all of the questions clearly to you, but it is not an easy one.
Right. I want to have you back, brother. I need to have you back. I also want to talk about the rise of Sharia law in the United Kingdom in certain cities and so on. But we are totally out of time. I need to have you come back. Remember, folks, the website for Providence Baptist Chapel in Cheltenham, England, is cheltenham.church, cheltenham.church. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you to everyone who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.